Good morning, welcome back to Nachiyomi. Today we're going to be learning Divrei Hayomim Aleph Perek Tes, the ninth chapter of the first book of Divrei Hayomim. This should be a milestone in the sense that this is the last of the chapters of Yichusim. Up till now, the first nine chapters of Divrei Hayomim is really about the background, the family, and setting up the structure from the times of the Shvatim till the times of Ezra. This chapter really closes that loop, and now we're going to start in Perek Yud with the story of Shaul HaMelech and the ascendancy of David. So at this point in time onwards, from Perek Yud onwards, it'll slow down and focus on the story of Malchus based David. So this chapter closes that. In trying to understand our Perek, which deals with, it has 43 psukim, we're going to be looking at it's fascinating because two parts of our Perek are really almost carbon copies of two other sections in Tanakh. Let's start at the very beginning. The first pasuk is a very important pasuk. It stands by itself and it reads as follows. V'kol Yisrael his yach shu. So all of Israel, at this point in time, all of Israel are registered by the genealogy, so the word Yichus. V'hinom kesuvim al sefer malcha Yisrael v'yuda. And they are written in the chronicles of the book of Israel, the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah. Haglu lebavel b'ma'alam. And they were taken to exile because of their trespass, because of their me'ilah. What is this pasuk doing? Why is it here? So Rashi explains that what essentially is doing, Rashi says this in a very, very beautiful way, Rashi actually gives us the voice of Ezra. And he says, Amarti lecha ksas mina yichusin, mashemotsasi. So Ezra is saying, I'm explaining to you why I've not given you the full-blown yichus to every tribe, to every family. It seems like it's long to us, but this is very, very short in terms of describing the genealogy of all of Israel. He says, but I'm giving you the main points, because you know what? There are actually chronicles to books of Judah and the books of Israel, which were taken into exile, and so you can use those for reference. Now, unfortunately for us, we don't have the books of chronicles. We don't have Divrei Hayomim for Yehuda and Israel. This book of Divrei Hayomim is not Divrei Hayomim and Malchei Yehuda. This is Ezra's accounting in retrospective fashion. So he's saying there are two other books floating around, and I relied on them and I gave you a makutzar, a summarized version over here. That's the way the Rashi understands it. The Radak understands that what this pasuk is doing is acting as a bridge between what's happened now and what's about to happen in this perek. A very critical pasuk this pasuk is, says the Radak. Because in the first eight prakim, we've dealt with the Shvatim as individuals, as families, and ultimately as territories. And we've witnessed the description of those territories till the point of even the exile of the Assyrians. So we've heard about Pul, we've heard about Sancheriv, Tiglath-Pileser, we've heard about all the different Assyrian overlords who had taken some of the tribes into captivity. This pasuk now says, well, fast forward, there's going to be an exile of Bavel, and now it's going to describe, the rest of this perek is going to describe the resurgence, says the Radak, of Shivas Tzion, the return to Zion, which is at the times of Ezra. So essentially we're fast forwarding to the resettlement of Yerushalayim at that point in time. So actually the next psukim take us in that direction. We now hear about those who settle in Jerusalem. They divide into different categories. There's Israelites, Kohanim, Levim, Nesinim, those are some of the servants. And it describes who settled in Yerushalayim. Some of them are from Binyamin, some from Ephraim, some from Menashe, and we hear about them. So in a very just brief overview, this section of those who settled in Yerushalayim takes us from Pasuk Beis to Pasuk Yud Ches. In this section, we hear first about those who are from Yehuda, that's from Psukim Dalet to Vav. Then we hear about those who come from Binyamin, Zion to Tes. Then we hear about those who are the Kohanim, that's Yud to Yud Gimel. We hear about those who are from the Levim, who are the singers, from Yud Dalet to Tes Zion. And we hear about those Levim who are gatekeepers, the other job of the Levim, which is from Psukim Yud Zion to Yud Ches. So that's a sort of a general summary of the section of those who are living in Yerushalayim. If you wanted to actually know the numbers themselves, the numbers are 3,618 settlers. Of them, a large amount of Levim, 1972, 1760 are Kohanim. Israelites in total, 1646, 956 of them from Binyamin. So we hear about the general statistics of the settlements here. What is this all list about? Why do we hear about this list? When is this list centered? This actually happens to be a very big and difficult question. The Gemara in Psachim on Daf Samach Beis on Beis tells us two important facts. The Rami Bar Rav Yehuda quotes Rav, who says, from the day that the Sefer Yuchsim was hidden or lost, Toshash Koichon Shel Chachamim V'Kohamo Or Einehem. that the wise people, so to speak, their vision diminished. They weren't able to understand things, which means that the supplementary books that Ezra was basing his count over here, when they disappeared, that was a time when a lot was lost. We aren't able to fully understand things. The Gemara gives an example. The Gemara then goes on to say, in the name of Rav Marizutra, from Eitzel to Eitzel, there are 400 camels carrying the drashas to explain it. What does the Gemara mean from Eitzel to Eitzel? Well, that actually refers to our section in Nehemiah. Because if you look very carefully at the end of Perek Ches in Divrei Yomim Aleph, is the word Eitzel. And in our Perek here, as you get to the end of our Perek in Perek Tes, which is Pasuk Mem Dalet, we also hear about the sons of Eitzel. What the Gemara is saying in this Perek, Perek Tes, is so complex and so difficult to understand in context that there were 400 camels giving bearing explanations that people have written over the ages to explain it. And in fact, the Mefarshim really struggle because this list of the Psukim from essentially Pasuk Beis to Yud Ches actually appear in Sefer Nehemiah, Perek Yud Aleph. And it's almost identical with a number of discrepancies, and the Mefarshim struggle to work out those discrepancies. So the Malbim over here actually looks at them and says, some of them are laughable. The Malbim actually says some of them don't make sense in trying to understand how to revise the discrepancies over here. The Malbim makes a very basic suggestion. And he says, you know what? That in order to understand this, he says that really you have to understand that this list is written by Ezra. The other list is written by Nehemiah. Ezra wrote Sefer Divrei Hayamim. Nehemiah wrote the most of Nehemiah and even Sefer Ezra. And so therefore, Nehemiah was supplementing the list of Ezra. So he's adding on details that Ezra may have overlooked or details left out, and the two are meant to be read as complementary versions of the same period in history. When is this period of history that it's actually focused upon? According to the Malbim, according to most of the Mefarshim, this is referring to the time when Zerubbabel comes back to Yerushalayim, people resettle in Yerushalayim, and in fact it refers to a specific occurrence after Nehemiah rebuilds the walls of Yerushalayim. After building the walls of Yerushalayim, Nehemiah realizes that the city will not be able to maintain its security and its kedusha if it is not going to be settled by others. So he sets up a lottery, and the lottery is going to make it that a certain number of people are going to forcibly be settled in Yerushalayim, because people were not settling there because of the security up till now. And therefore he makes a list of all the names of people who had already settled in Yerushalayim, and he makes a lottery about those who are going to be settled in Yerushalayim. Rav Shimon Schwab, in his commentary on Sefer Nehemiah, points out to us, we should not miss at the point that the original settling of the land of Israel was done by the Goral, by the lottery, and Nehemiah is in a certain sense doing the exact same thing when settling Yerushalayim. This is a very important point to realize. However, I would like to make mention of a very different and divergent pshat, which is brought up by the Da'at Mikra, which this volume is edited by Rav Yehuda Kiel, who is one of the chief editors of the set of Da'at Mikra. He makes a very, very interesting point. He says that, you know what, maybe these lists, the list here in Ezra, Perek Tes, Divrei Yomim Perek Tes, and the list in Nehemiah, Perek Yud Aleph, in fact, actually reflect different time periods. Maybe the list over here in Perek Tes of Divrei Yomim is referring to those who settled in Yerushalayim at the times of David HaMelech, much, much earlier, which explains why it's just after the list of Binyamin and how Binyamin settled in Yerushalayim. Now it's talking about the other settlers of Yerushalayim. Whereas the list in Nehemiah is a list of those at the times of Shivat Zion, at the return to Zion. And therefore that's why there are so many divergences between the two of them. And this, says Rav Yehuda Kiel, explains it. He brings in numerous amounts of riyas, or proofs, of those who are left off the list here and added to the list there, and why that is reflective of the two different ages and stages. Which means to say that we should actually view these lists as two bookends of the original settling Yerushalayim, its original Kedusha, and the second settling Yerushalayim, the Kidusha Shnia. That's the way to look at this perspective. We move on to the Perek from Sukkim Yud Tes to Chav Zayin. We hear about the work of the gatekeepers. And then we hear about, from Sukkim Chav Ches to Lamed Gimel, about the work of the other Levium. And included in this, we hear about a number of the Levium. We hear about Pinchas ben Elazar and his leadership. The Mefarshim talk about how his leadership ended because he's not helping Yiftach out. We hear about how the Shoarim, the gatekeepers, are the ones in all four directions, Mizrach, Yamat, Tzafon, and Negba. We hear about their brothers and the cycle of 7 days. And they do be'emunah hema. and how they are faithful to their service. We also hear about those who are around Yerushalayim, those the other Levim, and their jobs, how they are in charge of many of the different services, the Kelim in the Beis HaMikdash, making sure there's stock of Soiles, Yain, Shemen, all the different things necessary in the Mizbeach. We hear about the names of those Levim and their jobs, and how they take care of their jobs from Shabbos to Shabbos. The Malbim points out that if you do the numbers over here, every 7 days there was a shift in Mishmar. There were 24 Mishmaros, and 24 Levim were needed per day for the service, which means if there are 24 per day and there's 7 days a week, that means 168 Levim had a job every week. There were 24 weeks, which means there are 4,032 Levim, which basically just matches the number of the Levim recorded, which is 4,056, just over this number, which makes sense, as the Malbim points out, and matches the numbers in Sefer Nehemiah about how the Mishmaros were arranged, that every Levi had a particular job to be do it on a particular day. Very, very fascinating system and enterprise. Finally, the parak closes with Psukim Lamed Hey to Mem Gimel, Mem Dalad, actually, which includes the end of the parak. And it's this section of the parak is really a carbon copy of the end of the previous parak. It's about all those who lived in Yerushalayim from Binyamin and Givon and Yerushalayim. And it talks about how Shaul had a son, and his son was Yonatan, and Yonatan had a son. And we talked about this at the end of the last parak. Why is this being repeated over here? Rashi explains that Ezra was working off different books, different Sifrei Yuchsim, and therefore he copied two versions of it from the two different versions that he was working off over here, and that this is what he does. In Rashi records what the names of some of these different Svarim were as well. The Daat Nekra points out, Rav Yehuda Kiel says, yes, that may be true, but it is important to realize this last paragraph may have been repeated because it is the immediate introduction to Perek Yud. Perek Yud is going to start with the downfall of the house of Shaul and the introduction to David HaMelech. In order to get us prepared for that, after dealing with all the Yoshvei Yerushalayim, all those who settled in Yerushalayim, we need to know about the family of Shaul in order to be able to understand Shaul HaMelech as we hear about him in the next parak. This closes the Sefer HaYichsun, the 9 chapters of genealogy. We're now about to start the stories of Dira Yomim about Malchus based on it. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.